Dr. Walton, did you make contact with aliens? Were you taken to another planet, to a mothership? How do they communicate with... Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be?
What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body. Because I am more than physical matter, I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Broadcasting from New York, upstate, near the Great Lakes, it's Lighting the Void, and I'm your host, Joe Roop, and we are live on Fringe.fm. It's March the 23rd, on into the 24th, Tuesday, into Wednesday. It's midnight here on the East Coast, and we are always, I would say for the most part, always live right here on KTLK Digital Broadcasting, Fringe.fm. Also want to welcome KFSA News Talk to the program, and all of you lovely people on the World Wide Web. If you want to visit the show's website, you can go to lightingthevoid.com and the network website, of course, is fringe.fm. I want to thank Tony Merkel for coming on last night. He had his debut of Rage Against Dystopia that came on at 5 Pacific, and we moved the confessionals to Thursday, so it was a pretty good show, really good show. But tonight, we're going to be discussing something a wee bit different. The first 30 minutes, so I got to tell you guys what's up, and then also say what's up to my audio guy here, Rohan. What's up, Rohan? How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, brother. Not too bad. How are you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get through, dude. My car is about to blow up. White Thunder is about to take a dive. There's no doubt about it.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's going to be horrible. It's going to be like that scene in Never Ending Story with a horse, isn't it?
Yeah, right? Well, I went to the store they have in Rochester called Mythic. I think it's Mythic Treasures or Mythic Moon or something like that. But it's a magic and occult store, and they had some books, and drove in and wanted to get a couple of books. I wanted to see what they had. And on the way back, man, I just look behind me, and there's just this puff, like just white smoke just bellowing down the highway behind me. So not to mention it's embarrassing, but, you know. The Honda's got close to like 300,000 miles on it, man. I'm pushing it, right? I'm pushing that sumbitch. I have to, right? Like, I don't like going in debt. You know what I'm saying? I don't like credit cards. I don't like car payments. Yeah. Not to mention who can afford that crap. Car payments, insurance, credit cards, all that stuff. So I got to do like a fundraiser for a new car. But I think what we'll do is And we might get a van or an RV or something, right?
Yeah, that's more like it. Then you've always got that safety net. Maybe it's time for the lottery thing.
Yeah.
End of the month, isn't it? Payday. End of the month, payday. Everyone gets one lottery ticket.
Ah.
Yeah. We'll all do it together and we'll all will it to win. Somebody can win. But if you do win, you've got to leave half to the fringe. Hey.
Yeah, so we'll all set our intentions to win the lottery, right? And we'll do like a community ritual to win the lottery. Somebody's going to win, right?
That's right.
So we have Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, who's going to come on shortly. I've heard a lot about her, and we're going to be talking about the overlap pretty much of metaphysics, the paranormal phenomena, and the healing arts and how all this stuff overlaps. It is a strange topic when you get into the paranormal, because you have a ton of synchronicities and a ton of different things that happen. And the problem is, I start overthinking everything. I start overthinking everything till it drives me crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've been there, man. I've been there. That's where I say leaf in the river these days, because I've been there so many times. And you know, most of the time in life, I can think my way through things, but some stuff you just can't do it and you just go nuts. You just have to let it all go.
There's no group that gives away vans, people who live on wheels. What? No, man. Like, I'll be all right. I fixed this car so many times, it's crazy. I don't know. Like, my car is like a cat. It's got at least 9 or 10 lives. It's been smacked by deer. It's all kinds of. I popped the hood on it the other day, and the thing with the hood, you know, where you hold the hood up, I just popped it up, and that thing just fell off, man.
It's like a comedy film.
Yeah, dude, I was just holding it, and it fell off, and I'm like, all right, so this thing is obviously taking a dive, you know, because even the small parts on it are going. So,
you know, it's bad, but then the little knobs off the radio's coming off. You're like, oh no, we're getting in trouble now.
Dude, everything up here in New York, too, has that like salt where it's just destroyed the bottom of the vehicles. I guess you've probably seen that before, maybe in the UK.
Yeah.
My neighbor, he tried to sell me a truck for like $1,800, and the whole bottom was blown out from salt. And I was like, that's half a truck, actually. Yeah. I don't think it's much better than what I got, honestly. So, I'll get lucky. I'll find somebody desperate, and we'll figure something out. I don't know, dude. Like I've been riding with God for a long time, so you know.
Well, I was going to say that to you. Maybe it's already running on willpower like that. Do you remember those short stories, Steven Spielberg, like Amazing Stories or something? And there was one about these World War II bombers, and the landing gear gets busted up, and they've got to land, and the guy's stuck in the gunner seat underneath, so he's going to get crushed if they land. But he's a sketch artist, and he really believes in magicalness and that. Do you know what I mean? And he's in a trance doing his sketch, and it makes magical cartoon wheels so they can land. So maybe that's how your car's working, Joe. Just faith.
Yeah. It's running on faith. Well, at some point, you got to get practical, though, right? You can't just...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, at some point, even God's like, listen, dude, you're going to start doing something.
Yeah, it's like Jesus helps those that help themselves.
That's right. Yeah. So before we get into the topic tonight and bring our guest on, do you remember back in the day when we were talking about how... Man, what were you talking about? We were talking about how they used to, like, they wanted to shoot asteroids and stuff. How they wanted, you know, how they were preparing for asteroids and all that.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. Like, it was like 2019. Mm-hmm. But a Japanese spacecraft bombed an asteroid, and they expected, like, seismic activity. They expected it to do something. And guess what happened?
Nothing.
It didn't do a damn thing to it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. 87% solid iron.
So it was like back in September of 2019, because I remember talking to everybody about this, NASA and the European Space Agency, or the ESA, that they planned on like blasting their double asteroid DART. It's called the DART, Double Asteroid Redirect Test, or something like that. And they shoot it directly into an asteroid. And, but the logic behind it is to see if there's any way to deflect an asteroid that's heading towards the Earth. Well, apparently, it's not working, right? I don't, that's kind of scary. There's got to be a way to deflect it, you would think.
I think what I've seen him doing stuff like that, it seems to be about, you need a certain amount of time, you need a lot of time, don't you? Because that's the thing. When we get asteroids coming close, they tend to have come in last minute, and we get these last minute. Sometimes they don't even warn us, do they? Because they didn't see them, you know. But I've seen ones where they will say, if we've got 10 years, then we can fly a shuttle, fly a little drone up, and we can paint one side of it dark. And then the natural sort of contrast will like gradually sort of move it off.
Well,
and like lasers and stuff. And it's crazy, isn't it?
There, so this was NASA in Europe. So Japan, naturally, when these guys are all battling with their space stuff, by the way. Mm-hmm. So like naturally, Japan's going to jump out and say, well, we're going to try it. And we're going to jump ahead of you. And they named it this thing called JAXA, which JAXA is the equivalent of NASA. It's like Japanese NASA. So I think that, so I don't know if they actually did this. This could be virtual. It says, I'm looking it up now. It says revealed in a virtual presentation at the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference on March the 15th by the University of Tokyo professor of planetary science. I'm not even going to pronounce this guy's name, Nishiyama. Was the fact that Japan's Hayabusa 2 spacecraft fired a high-speed 5.5-pound bullet using a 10-pound explosive propellant charge, and the asteroid didn't even flinch. But that's, why would you fire a 5-pound bullet? That's nothing.
It's like, if you're going to do it, where's the Tsar bomb? You know, where's the big boy? Where's the, you know, 10 million megaton nuke?
You got to have more cowbell than that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go hunting an elephant with a 22, right? Like,
that's,
I just wouldn't
like
do it.
That's like if we did it at the shack, isn't it? That's like two amateurs.
And see, these people are supposed to be engineers and the smartest of the smartest, and they threw a 5-pound weight at an asteroid.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. I was just going to say that. So it's nice to segue that way. On the one thing, right? NASA, when it first started, it was the smartest of the smartest. But now they can't attract the smartest of the smartest because we can't pay them enough. They won't pay them enough. They're not being fully transparent. So, and that's not where the prizes are and the great reward is. You know what I mean? NASA was great when it was just people doing it for the love of it, isn't it? And you got all the best then because they didn't care about the other stuff. But also, I think we've got two tiers, haven't we? It's breakaway stuff.
I'd be like, so load the gun up again, man. But this time put some stank on it, you know? I'd be like, I wouldn't hit it with a 10-pound explosion. I guess what they're thinking is because it's space and you just have velocity and there's no gravity or whatever, that any amount of force should redirect it. But I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be smart or as smart as these guys are, but obviously they need to go back to the drawing board.
They're doing that stuff that's like the public domain stuff, but then there's other going to be other technologies, isn't there, where they probably can totally do it using like some scale of upscaling physics or something, you know, and use HARP or something. Do you know what I mean? So they're trying to solve problems that's probably already been cracked. What do you think?
I don't know, because we've been on this earth for a long time. I'm just wondering why it's such a big deal now. Like, is there something they're really not telling us? Because we've been on the Earth for a long time. We've always had asteroids come close, right?
This is true.
I know they're saying there's this thing, well, eventually one's going to get us. Like, Jupiter's not going to block all the asteroids. Well, it has for a long, long, long time, you know? Mm. So I think there's something that they're not telling us about.
Or is it one of them big psyop things? Like, everyone worried still. You know what I mean? It's all about worrying people, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We've got the Kuiper belt, haven't we? We've got the asteroid belt. So it's like the same with the pandemic. I think we've been all right 99.9% of the time. So, you know, that's 500 years. Can't be that different, can it?
Yeah. Well, I am kind of stoked. I saw two UFOs here the other night. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to make sure they were UFOs. But you know how the Rogi report has come on and talked about, there's been the mass reports of UFOs are in Rochester for some reason. And I was like, well, I haven't seen anything. And then I went outside the other night and I saw like these just two lights kind of moving with each other. It wasn't, they weren't planes. I don't know what they were, but they were way up in deep space. They weren't satellites because I've seen the way satellites move. And they were kind of moving and then they dropped, almost like they sunk and then dropped and sunk and dropped. And I'm like, what is that? You know? So that's probably what people are seeing up here, what Rogie was reporting on. So anyways, tonight we're going to bring on Dr. Kimberly McGeorge and we're going to talk about the paranormal phenomena, the healing arts. You can go to her website at secrettoeverything.com. And I think some of the biggest questions we got to ask about this is how can we use the experience of the paranormal, like our paranormal experiences, as part of our understandings for more a balanced life and for a better well-being. Once you have paranormal experiences in your life or you experience these things, it changes your paradigm, which tells me, like, can we use this stuff to heal ourselves, right? You know how we're always looking for healing outside of ourselves, especially when we have weird experiences and we think, oh, we need someone to tell us what's going on and tell us what this is about and heal me and help me. But I think a lot of times it's all about healing ourselves. And another question we're going to ask is, does frequency and vibration exist beyond the physical realm? That's what we're going to discuss tonight. It's some good stuff, right? Don't you think, Rohan? Where the hell did Rohan go?
Oh, sorry, I had muted myself accidentally. Yeah, man, sounds good to me. Sounds interesting. Just looking at the website now.
Did you go to it?
Yeah, it's on it now, yeah.
Are you awake, Rohan?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm on the website now, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people have told me I should talk to this lady, and I'm kind of really stoked about it. I got a kind of a reading from her. I hope she's going to talk about it, too. Where it's like an aura reading. Have you ever had anybody read your aura and tell you that they could see colors around you?
No, never that. I had some random person message me on some saying his angels around me, but that was, you know, could be a nutter.
Could be a nutter. No, but it's not the first time. People always tell me they see like pink light around me. Pink, purple, and blue. Pink, purple, blue. Pink. That's my favorite color.
Sound all right, man. So what's a nice mixture of blue and both ends, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't know what all that stuff means, but we're going to talk about it. And then tomorrow night, Anthony Tyler is going to come back on the broadcast from divemind.net. And that's always a fun conversation to talk to Anthony. It's probably some of the best conversations I've had on the show. And then Thursday, we're going to have P.D. Newman's going to come on, and we're going to talk about psychedelics in the Western esoteric tradition, about how alchemy has been embedded into Freemasonry, and that there could be an actual psychedelic secret that's been embedded into Freemasonry. I'm sure you guys know what that's about, right? I don't have to like give the farm away to tell you what we're probably going to discuss there, or do I? You tell me, Rohan. Did I hint well enough on that?
Oh yeah, today I think that's good. I think you're all right then.
Well, P.D. Newman wrote the book Alchemically Stoned, as well as the book Angels in Vermilion, the Philosopher's Stone from D to DMT. So I'm just saying that some people believe that DMT is like the answer to everything. The psychonauts, especially.
Yeah, even the people who name flowers, and then they're calling them, they've got a harmaline in some of these flowers, and they're calling them morning glory, pearly gates, flying saucer is the name of the flowers. And you're thinking, oh, okay.
I thought a morning glory was something entirely different.
Well, I don't know about that. This is an Oasis album. You keep that to yourself, Joe.
I don't want to sound like too crazy. And the last thing I would talk about today is, of course, they did some more studies on our brain, and they found out that some of our brain cells get more active after we die. A study has found that even after we die, some of our brain cells can experience one last and large momentary burst of life. And this research came out on Tuesday. They announced it, that the study found evidence that certain, what they're calling zombie genes, think about that for a second, and our brain cells are active more frequently soon after death, which causes some cells to immensely expand for hours. And the findings won't radically change our concepts of life and death, but many hold some important implications for studying brain tissue taken post-mortem. So it's not a big secret that our brain stays alive after we die, but for how long? That's what they're finding out.
Yeah, I know they don't start trying to stretch it out so they can question victims of murders. Do you know what I mean? Oh, no, don't bring me back.
I don't even know if I'd want to donate my brain to studies like that.
What's Night Stalker? Is he still on there using his body as a template now, I wonder?
Maybe. You know, I don't know. But that's where a lot of materialists say. They say, well, that's why people have these near-death experiences and they have all this stuff because of the brain cell activity.
Yeah, they haven't got it on. They haven't got it worked out. Remember, I've seen these bodies that have died in hospitals, like of a regular death, where it's just become completely toxic and about to evacuate the hospital. Do you know what I mean? They don't know what's going on at the moment of death.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been pretty proven that people see stuff outside their body that is actually happening, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Non-local consciousness, for sure. That's over and over again. Yeah.
My question is when you kill the TV, you remember those old TVs that you had to push in, like, and they made that sound when you pushed in for it to shut off? My question is like, when you die, does the signal go out? Do you go out with it? Right? Is that why people are having near-death experiences? Because they're, like, not really dead. They're still connected to their body in a way, you know?
Yeah, I think you are the signal. I think you're the transmission. And I think then the transmission stream kind of like it's got nothing to connect to, so then it kind of like redirects or goes wherever it's going. Like, and it's probably just takes a bit little delay for a couple of weeks before, you know what I mean?
Well,
I reckon that's what it is.
We're gonna go into our break. We're gonna bring back our guest, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. More Lighting the Void coming up. Calling numbers 1-800-588-0335. If you want to join the chat room, you can go to thefringe.fm/chatroom or click on the Discord link at fringe.fm. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Are you staying around, Rohan?
Yeah, I can hang around.
Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or no Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the Fringe FM by calling 701-719-3971. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 701-719-3971. That's 701-719-3971. Listen to the Fringe FM on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Are you stressed? I mean, who isn't? Anxiety creeping in? No, not that. Is sleep hard to attain because your brain just won't slow down? We're living in crazy times, and the fear knob has been turned up. Okay, there's an answer. Take a big breath, exhale, and go log on to AncientLifeOil.com. CBD. Broad and full spectrum, organic and non-GMO CBD for you to enjoy. Change your tune from fear to calm. From brain overload to clear thinking. 0.003 THC on full spectrum and 0% THC on broad spectrum. Competitive pricing with the best quality. Also know everything is going to get better. No worries. Be happy. CBD can help calm so your nerves don't think they're a six-string electric guitar. Enjoy life, smile, and log on to AncientLifeOil.com for great CBD. That's AncientLifeOil.com. You'll be glad you did.
Want to know what's on the Fringe FM? Check out our schedule at thefringe.fm.
Hola, Fringe listeners. This is Dave Cruz of Beyond the Strange, and you're listening to The Fringe FM.
This is Malorcas 45, fan of The Fringe FM, challenging everyone to open their mind's eye. Listen to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop to gain precision for your third eye vision.
My name is Jake. I'm from Billings, Montana, and I am a Void Walker.
Hey, Joe Roop. Thanks for lighting the void. This is Janine in the Bluegrass of Kentucky, and I am a Void Walker.
What's up, guys? This is Damien from San Marcos, Texas, and I'm a Void Walker. I listen to the show to keep myself aligned with the world.
Hi, this is Laura, a.k.a. Laura Lavender. I'm from Las Vegas, and I listen to Lighting the Void because it helps me understand some of the strangest experiences I've had. So thanks for all that you do and for always being there for us, Joe.
Hi, this is Kronox from Belgium, and you're listening to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop.
Hey, this is country music singer and Void Walker, Jason Benoit, and when I need my fix on the world of magic and the capabilities of the human consciousness, I listen to Joe Roop right here on Lighting the Void Radio.
Born out of the alchemical tradition of Paracelsus is a medical tradition called Spigeria. Though not many people practice this work today, Phoenix Aurelius has been researching and teaching this work for the last 15 years, and he needs your support.
Hi, I'm Phoenix Aurelius, and I'm the founder of the Phoenix Aurelius Research Society, where I perform modern scientific research on the methods and techniques of Paracelsian alchemy and Spigeria for health, wellness, agriculture, ecology, and more. All my work is 100% funded by the public. So if you like what I'm doing and you want to support my research, please consider making a purchase of Spigeric medicines from my apothecary, fund your own Spigeric IDF wellness research, or participate in my group study or one-on-one immersion courses so that you can learn how to perform this work for yourself. I want to thank you in advance for your support.
Visit thefringe.fm/alchemyresearch and enter coupon code FRINGE and receive 15% off anything and everything on the website. That's thefringe.fm/alchemyresearch. And thank you for doing your part in keeping alchemy alive in the modern day.
Welcome back to Lighting the Void. We're going to bring in our guest here and get this going. Don't forget, too, if you want to support the show, you can go to lightingthevoid.com, sign up for our patrons, or make a one-time donation or grab something from the store. If you buy something from the store because of COVID, it's extremely delayed, but I promise you, you will get your order. I have a couple of people like, man, where's my shirt? Where's my altar box? And then eventually, once they get it, then they're like, oh, I got it. They start sending me pictures. So, just keep in mind that they're catching up on that stuff, though. But it's worth it. Get you a Void Walker shirt, altar box, all that stuff. And thank you guys for loving and supporting the show. I love and support you, too. All right. So Dr. Kimberly McGeorge is here, and she is an internationally renowned naturopathic doctor, energy healer, remote viewer, paranormal expert, and consciousness teacher. And her extensive client list includes some of the world's most talented healers. And for the past 25 years, she has worked on thousands of people around the world. Now, Dr. Kimberly was born with the ability to remote view, see people's auras, and is highly intuitive. And while still in college, she helped police on many occasions, finding that she had a natural affinity with herbs. She worked as an herbalist and went to create and distribute her own line of herbal organic products internationally. And during this time, her personal practice expanded to multiple clinics throughout Columbus, and driven by her inner knowing that her healing work could be made much quicker, more affordable, and amplified exponentially using technology, Dr. Kimberly consulted with an esteemed neurosurgeon and realized that healing frequencies and naturopathy could be applied to all areas of her clients' lives. In her latest groundbreaking program, Frequency Master, teaches how to master frequencies in your own life and trains other healers to use her own unique and successful methods. And thank you so much for coming on the broadcast, Dr. Kimberly. It's good to have you.
Oh, my pleasure.
So tell me about this before we get into, oh shoot, I forgot to tell everybody your website too. Stupid me. Secret to everything.com. That's a cool website name, by the way. Secret to everything.com. It's a really cool website. So while you guys are listening to the show, go check that out as well. But before we got on the show, you did like an aura reading for me. And I just want to, I'm curious what you found out there. I gave you my birth date and a picture.
Yeah. So you're quite interesting. You got a lot going on. One of the things I noticed, which we see in a lot of people that are on radio or TV, is the green, which I'm kind of going by memory because I don't have it in front of me. But I know there was green, kind of a nice bright green in there. And that means you're, of course, a good communicator. You have an amazing radio voice. You know, I enjoy listening to it. I love a good voice. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we carry, like, if you can read frequencies, when you hear someone's voice, you can tell like a ton of stuff because we carry the whole of our being in our voice. So when someone says like you have a nice voice, it usually means you're a pretty cool person. And you do seem to be a pretty cool person. So I think you also had pink in your aura. Like, I could be making this up.
No. There was pink and blue. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of colors in it. There was pink.
Yeah, there was.
Blue,
yeah,
some purple, was. And even a little yellow and peach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So the pink means like you're super loving. But I also dug deeper and I did some of my other, you know, scan work in my apps. And I think we all have been, but you also like kind of hold part of your heart to yourself. Like us all, you've been hurt and wounded before in either familial, like love relationships or love relationships. So you're like this, like when you trust someone, you give it all. But until then you're kind of like, okay, you can see some of me, you can get to know some of me, but you don't reveal yourself. Like, sorry, radio audience, you don't know all of him. Like there's a lot to you and you keep quite a bit back.
Yeah, I actually do for the most part. There's one person that I think knows me the most, more than my own father does, you know, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I kind of dug into that. So there's a little bit of like physical toxicity. So I went and I took, I don't know how old you are because you're a lot younger than I am. You're like a baby. But I don't know. Do you have joint pain? Because I saw some like joint muscle stuff coming up. If you don't, I
do in my knees because I played football and I was a catcher for like 12 years. So.
I didn't know that, but that came up that you have joint pain. And then I also saw some and pretty much you could like point at anybody in the world and probably say this, but specifically for you, a little bit of blood sugar issues going on. So I'd again watch that, you know, as you age, you don't want to get into some crazy, you know, hypoglycemic type 2 diabetes, you know, down the line, but you do kind of have, your pancreas is kind of stressed. I don't know if you eat a lot of sugar or not, or you eat a healthy diet or not, but you should probably have a little more protein.
Yeah, I don't, I'm thinking about switching to the keto diet too. I love sugar though. Who doesn't love sugar? Everybody loves sugar.
Yeah. It's not the most amazing thing for you.
I love all the good stuff in life. You know?
Yeah, you can get away with it because you're a baby. But when you start to get older, you start to think, like you said, I mean, I think that'd actually be a really good switch for you. So kind of that brown orange is like the physical stuff going on. And there was a lot of other stuff, but trying to think, what other colors were there?
Peaches, yellow, and purple.
Oh, yeah. So the yellow is really interesting because you like to be like, you're kind of a leader and you like to be in control and you really aren't like a super follower. So that's kind of what that means. I'm trying to think. I'd have to look at the, I'll give you a little mini reading off the air, like tomorrow when I'm awake.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, it's got like pink around the top and then there's a green circle where my head is. And then at the bottom right, it's like pink and purple. And then below it, it's like yellow. And then there's a little bit of peach, you know?
Yeah. And I will say another thing about that. That's actually, so a lot of people look at an aura like that, no offense. And they're like, oh, that's so pretty. It's actually, you would want to go for a little more integrated aura. So sometimes you do like this role switching thing where you're kind of like, and we all do this to an extent, But I would encourage you. Sometimes I think you're a little much. You can be a little much. And I think you know that. And I would encourage you to bring all of yourself forward, like all of yourself to the party, like all the time. Because I think you kind of play the game and you don't have to. You're really a cool person. You have a lot of healing energy. You're a really loving person. You're a great communicator. And yeah, you could be pretty potent instead of fragmenting yourself if you brought it all and kind of like
bring it all into one, huh?
Yeah, bring it all into one. And then you know what we would see? We would see one color, one high frequency color. Probably my guess is green. So okay. I think you're like a healer communicator would be your strongest gift.
Oh, that's interesting. We already got somebody on the phone lines. You must have fans. I'm interested to see what's going on here.
I do. I have some fans.
Do you have fans? All right. Let's see. 954 area code.
I also have some non-fans.
Uh-oh. Well, let's see. This is from Florida, I think. 954. Who are we speaking with?
Christine.
What's on your mind? You want to speak to our guest?
Sure. Anything would be great to learn.
Anything would be great to learn.
Okay. The way I work, if I like kind of in my psychic abilities is I'm super specific. So you need, because I could tell you a million things. So ask me a specific question and I'll try to answer it.
Love.
That's a little general specific.
Are you talking about like love?
Too general.
Like you are, when are you going to, I bet you what she's trying to ask you, I can tell right now is, when am I going to find the love of my life? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can tell. All right.
Yes, sir. I love that. Okay, so hold on a minute. Can I ask how old you are?
Uh-oh, hold on. How old are you?
Ooh,
56. 56. That's a good year.
I say it like that. That's like baby. Like if you live to 100, oh, baby. Come on. Okay, okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, so this is a tricky question because there's something called Avalon programming in this world. And so we all know what Avalon programming is, even if we aren't aware of what that term. And it's the Disney movie. It's one day my prince will come and my life will be perfect and I'll be complete and I'll be whole, you know, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever, whoever you want, you know, we'll be happy and whole. But first of all, you're pretty cool. You're a pretty cool person. You have some good stuff in your life going on. There's nothing missing. So you don't, like, this wouldn't be my first question for you, actually. It looks like you have a lot of other stuff going on that actually should, that I would ask a psychic. However, even though I'm not a big fan of Avalon programming, you will have the option later in your life, about 58 to 60, to have a pretty long relationship if you wish.
Cool.
There's nothing missing in your life right now.
Okay.
There's nothing missing in your life? Well, I mean, what
she
do you mean?
Need a man. I mean,
you don't need a man, is what she's saying, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's hard to hear, though, isn't it? Like, because I need a woman, right? Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, I think don't we all need somebody?
No.
No?
Get a dog.
Okay, thanks for your call, Christine. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So tell me about this Avalon programming. I'm curious about that. What is that?
Oh, yeah, it's happily ever after programming. So it's a program of the 3D Matrix. You know, most people call it the world. I call it the 3D matrix. And it's really shoved down our throat. Like I remember being in third grade, you know, sitting in my little elementary school outside of Chicago. And seriously, I swear to God, they made us watch like 4 Disney movies a week. Like, and we had to watch them like over and over. So we watched these, you know, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, like, and we're programmed. I was actually raised by my parents that the reason you go to college, and this was like in the 80s, so it wasn't like in the 50s or anything, but I was raised that you go to college as a woman to like meet your husband, and then have babies. Like, even though my parents said I could do whatever I wanted to do, yada, yada, still, that was kind of the program. Now, maybe it's not as much like nowadays because everything's like screwed up as we know. But, you know, that's what a lot of people have been ingrained with. Like, you've really made it. You know, there's a push, you know, have grandchildren, depending on the age, you know, of your parents. You know, get married. My son or daughter's 40 or 50 years old. Can you believe they've never married? Well, WTH, like, I mean, relationships are super distracting. They really can. They can hold you back from travel. They can hold you back from career. They certainly can drain your money. And if you end up getting divorced, well, that's a whole nother story. So really, that whole program on the outside, it's really pushed. Whole industries are built on it. The baby industry, the wedding industry. I mean, people spend $30,000 and $40,000 on weddings. To me, that's insanity.
Yeah, usually it's... I don't know. Like, I'm kind of the opposite. I love relationships. I do want to find somebody to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
However, I'm realizing
nothing wrong with that, especially if you don't kind of like, if you don't need somebody, but you'd like somebody, then that's a choice. But the program kind of makes it like a, you have to be married. You have to have children. Like, there's something wrong with you if you don't. So there's nothing wrong with choosing that. But as long as you're choosing it kind of like outside of pressure, does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, and I get what you're saying. Like, everybody I've talked to about that, that has been extremely honest with me. You know, even the people that are like older and single and stuff, they tell me, you know, like, they've learned through relationships to love themselves and everything like that. But deep down, everybody kind of wants to have most people, they kind of want to have somebody, right? Like, but I think what you're talking about too is that nuclear family thing that everybody's programmed into, you know, the house, the marriage, the baby, the white picket fence, that stuff.
Exactly. Right. There's a certain way, and you haven't made it if you don't do what everybody else is doing, how everybody else did it, and make the same choices everybody else did. That's what I'm talking about.
There you could have a relationship with somebody in all kinds of different ways. It doesn't have to be, you know, house, fence, and baby, right? It doesn't unless you're a family person.
I know couples that are married and they live in separate houses and they have the most amazing relationship.
That's so weird to me just hearing that though. But I also do know, like, relationships that are, people are married and they're not even intimate. They just stay married because they stay married, right? And they have like open relationships. Exactly. And it's like, what?
There's nothing. I mean, each to their own, you know.
Well,
and you will have a good relationship, by the way.
Will I? I can't wait.
Yeah.
Cause I've been through hell and
I know
I've been through hell.
You've also done a little bit of work. I don't know how or why. I don't know all the specifics of that, but you have grown and you have changed, you know, from when you were younger. And I think you're getting closer to being like a really viable partner. So that's good too.
Yeah. I think what people are afraid of too, is what I'm starting to realize, is people keep you at a distance on purpose. Sometimes they keep you at a distance on purpose because if they fall too deep in love with you, then they feel like they're going to need you. Right. So a lot of times they don't want you to be needy or that person. They want you to be independent and everything because they don't want to put themselves in a situation that like that so they can keep you at bay. And it's some kind of weird mirroring thing that happens, right? Because people don't want to open up all the way. They don't want to be completely vulnerable to somebody.
Right, because they've been hurt. And we call it, and actually you do have some unprocessed trauma in you. I saw that when I was looking at you, but a lot of people also carry their own unprocessed trauma. It doesn't really, honestly, it doesn't matter what's happened to you, when it happened to you, if you've processed it and you've healed from it. The problem is we think that healing and processing means shutting down our emotions and walling ourselves off, like you're talking about. And then we enter in these relationships and we do what you're talking about, which is that projection thing, where we project our fears and our hurts on the other person. And I would just encourage you to continue to, you know, kind of do your own work so that you're not. I don't think you really do that, though.
Well, this is why I tell a lot of dudes, like, don't give your emotions over so fast. Not because it's bad, but because if you do it quickly, it freaks a lot of women out, especially women that have been through trauma and stuff, because they're going to be like, okay, well, if I get too attached to this person, like, I can't be, you know, I'm going to end up having to be the mother or the person, like, where are they going to be strong enough to hold me when I have an emotional freak out, that kind of thing. And all this stuff like happens unconsciously. And when I was younger, I would just give my heart away like over and over again, over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets you. I don't think people shouldn't give their heart away. I think there's just a healthier way to do it is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I didn't like the people that really, really liked me. I like the ones that didn't, you know, like the challenge. So I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Women don't always like just open adoration, you know, and guys that, you know, are honest about their feelings. They like a little bit, everybody likes a little bit of a chase, yeah. I think.
Yeah. And see, that's why I get in a pickle because I don't like the chase and stuff. I'm just like, look, this is what I feel. This is how I am. Come on with it. And everybody's like,
I love that.
You know,
come on with
it. Yeah, everybody's like, God, that's well, you know what? If that's
they you. Run, they start running.
All right.
They're like, see ya.
Yeah, so it's okay. It's better. I feel like I'm going to blow up from pretending, though. I can't do it. So I don't know. Yeah, I think part of getting older, and I know you say I'm young. I'm almost 40. What constitutes when you're old?
My God.
Like, what age constitutes when you're actually old? Who keeps calling on the station line? That's annoying. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It doesn't bother me.
It's bothering me. Can y'all hear it?
Yeah.
All right. Someone's calling the office number. I apologize about that. But, yeah, the calling number is 1-800-588-0335. 1-800-588-0335. What was I saying before that? I apologize.
We were talking about, like, you said you're like, are you 40 or almost 40?
I'm almost 40. I'm going to turn 39 in less than a week.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. You're such a baby.
How is that a baby? When does it? Okay. What age do you have to be before you're not a baby anymore?
I don't know. Like 70?
Oh, God. Really? What's the average?
The older I get, like the younger, it's weird. When I was like 17, I'm like, oh my gosh, like 40, your life is over. And then when I was 40, I'm like, I'm so freaking young. And I'm like 52. And I'm like, I'm going to live to like 100. I mean, I still have half my life to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Rachel says, I believe the key is to deeply understand what unconditional love is. You don't have to experience it to try and understand what it means. Maybe once this is achieved, you attract it, maybe. Well, unconditional, when all we've ever known is conditional love your whole life. Mm-hmm. If you want unconditional love, you need to pray to God or have a kid. Okay.
Have a dog.
Yeah. Because everybody else is, including your parents, have conditionally loved you. And yes, it causes trauma, but that's the way that life goes, right? You learn unconditional love by the time you're older. And hopefully you're already with somebody by that time, or you've learned to be unconditionally loving to somebody. Because if you expect somebody to be that way out of the gate, you expect way too much. That's what I think anyways.
No, that's really, really true. And love here versus outside of here, like when we pass from here, is completely different. So love is really twisted and warped here. And it's very, very different and very infinite and just completely, it's just so hard because love has different like connotations, like you said, depending on your own past and how you were or were not loved, not just as a child, but, you know, by your friends, by your work associates, you know, everyone you come in contact with, you learn either good or bad things about a lot of things, really.
Yeah. And there's a love is a two-way thing, right? It's always a two-way thing. It's always a two-way thing, if unless it's self-love. If it's not, then it's always a two-way street, right? So it's all about like appreciating somebody, giving as much as you can give. But when you get into that point of view where you're like, well, I'm not getting anything back, then you start getting resentful And that's where it's like, it's not unconditional love. The second you get resentful because you're not getting something back, then you don't you're not capable of unconditionally loving. I can tell you that right now. And if you feel that way and you give and you expect something back and you want unconditional love, well, then you're in a really big pickle because you can't give it. You see, it's a whole messed up thing. I think it comes from our parents, man. Our parents mess us up. That's all it is to it.
I would agree with that.
They do. And then when I studied therapy, that was the shock. I'm not a parent, luckily, but I saw that shocking moment when 80% of them were parents and we're finding this out for the first time and seeing why. And all these parents' faces are going, why? And they're like, don't worry, it happens. You know, you do what you learn, don't you? But it didn't it's like you said with the programming, though. I've noticed, and you'll probably notice this, especially when I say it, is kids' TV programs, even when I was a kid, I used to notice, if there's a moral they're trying to push of how you're supposed to be, it's in the next cartoon. It's in the same cartoon. And you'll watch it, and the next cartoon comes on, and it's the same moral of the story. And even as a kid, I used to think, have they written it like that on purpose? I used to wonder as a kid. I'd line the episodes up. And sometimes they're not like the first episode's this moral, the second one's that one. No, they line it up where Jason the Wheel Warriors episode 6 will line up with Thundercats episode 2. And it's the same moral on the same day. And you're like, even as a kid, you can see it. They're telling me something. On Tuesday, they want to push something into my head on Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I'm just saying, I've never met an unconditionally loving human in my entire life, unless it was like family or father, son, you know, the child to parent type thing. Right. I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. I've tried to give it myself, but I've never, you know, the second you, and I think any human, the second they give themselves away and they get nothing for it, eventually they start getting resentful. But you do, I think Rachel's right in a way, like the older you get, the more you realize that, hey, I need to let go of these expectations of when I give my love, I'm going to get this back, because you're always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be disappointed. And that's not real love, right? But on this planet, I think that's what we're here to learn, is what she's talking about too, you know?
I agree with the programming, you know, with the media, though. I mean, now we know, we hear so much about mainstream media, but it's not just the news. It is all the kids shows, all the teen shows, all the adult drama. You know, it's all woven in the direction they want us to go. A lot of it has to do with control. And again, it circles back to what you're saying about love, which control should really have no part.
It has nothing to do with it.
Unconditional love. So it's real interesting that these molds are presented, you know, these templates that we're supposed to fit into, which is a form of control. And then we try to mix love with the template and then all the parent stuff, as you said, and it becomes a little bit of a mess. We wonder why we struggle.
Yeah, like in that book, Conversations with God, I remember reading that, and I remember him talking about that. He said, you don't know what it was like to be unconditionally loved. You've forgotten, because from the time you were a child, your parents told you, I loved you, but did they not tell you and get on to you and make you feel bad about being who you are at every turn? At every turn, you weren't good enough, or you should do this, or you should do that, or you should do this different. It didn't feel loving at all. It was totally conditional. And when you did right and you tried to impress them to get that feeling and that nurturing from them, did they even give it to you then? Right.
That's deep. I think our parents make us wrong, and then we learn how to make others wrong in our relationship. And I think that's something we need to watch in a lot. If you really examine a lot of your conflicts, even light conflicts that come up during the day, a lot of it is because you have to be right, the other person has to be wrong, or you're making yourself wrong and you're making the other person right. And that's pretty deep if you kind of think about that. But I think our parents make us wrong. You know, there's only one right way to fold the towels, or there's only one right way to set the table for dinner. You know, this is how you do it, or this is how our culture does it, or this is how it's always been done. So from the time we're very little, we don't have like that creation spark where we can find creative solutions to problems. We're always wrong. We're always being pushed into someone else's idea of what is right.
Yeah, it's sad, right? Because boys grow up, a lot of boys grow up with no motherly nurturing. A lot of girls grow up with no fatherly nurturing. And the thing is like a healthy child needs both. And you need both, really. And what you'll see out in the world, too, is people that have been involved in families that have healthy relationships, it's easy for them to be in a healthy relationship. It's easy. It comes natural to them. But most of us are not that way. Most of us have had parents that were trying to fix themselves while they were raising you and probably still hadn't fixed themselves, you know? So you were just, you seem to be just a problem to them, not worth the unconditional love and nurturing. So when we get into these relationships, as we get older, we have to learn how to see the inner child and that other person that we're trying to love. Because if we can't, that relationship ain't going to last.
Yeah, wise words. It's good.
But I want to learn more about the frequency stuff that you're talking about.
Well, what do you want to know?
I want to feel
like a lifetime study.
It's a lot. Well, I mean, how did you get into it? Shoot. Hold on. Let's talk about that when we get back, because I just blew right past the break.
Good.
Okay, went on a stupid rant. Sorry about that, y'all. Yeah, but we'll take the top of the hour break here. We'll come back. We're going to get into Dr. Kimberly's story. And we'll take your phone calls too at 1-800-588-0335. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Really weird. My entire connection just went off the face of the earth. I had to reboot like everything. And even still, after rebooting, it's saying that my connection is kind of low. So I couldn't even Skype anybody. All I could do was get Kim back on the phone. Kim, are you still with us?
I am with us.
Oh, thank God. See, you start talking about spirituality, what love is all about and everything, and you know, the evil people just come in and knock you right out, don't they? Every time.
Every time.
What's up with that? What's up with that? So I want to get into your work, right? So tell me how, like one of the first crazy paranormal experiences that happened to you that got you involved with this. Because usually isn't that what happens? Like something weird or strange happens to you that kind of changes your life and gets you involved in this work? Or did something else happen for you?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was pretty much, there's like that saying that teachers teach what they need to learn. And so healers kind of go after, like, I needed healing and I wasn't finding it through conventional methods. I found some release through herbs. I found some release through alternative medicine, but it still wasn't getting to like the root of things. And, I had my midwife, because I had my children at home, my midwife suggested this woman in Ohio when I lived in Ohio, and she lived way, 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 way out in the back hills, and she had no degrees. She wasn't a nurse. She wasn't a doctor. She wasn't anything. But she had this machine. She had this frequency machine. So I drove like an hour and a half out to her, and she tested me on this machine. And this was like 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And as she was testing me, I heard this voice in my head, and it said, "Someday you will own one of these machines and you will help many people." And I didn't even know like what this thing was. Like that was just like my first exposure. I didn't even know that it existed. And so anyway, I got quite a bit better with her helping me. Anyway, I ended up having two of those machines, having four clinics and having, you know, hundreds of clients
in Ohio, you know, before I went virtual, you know, when the internet took off, and we figured out that, you know, frequency and energy knows no time and space. That's how we're talking right now. And so I'm able to, you know, look at, with a picture, basically, you know, scan anyone all over the world. And we're frequency machines. So every thought, every emotion, every disease, every, even our programming, every single thing that's ever happened to us, whether we remember it or not, is stored within our energy field and within the water in our physical body, and it broadcasts. And so now we have the technology, and now I don't need big machines or bigger machines. Now we just use the apps on our phone and our tablets, and we can read energy all over the world. And I don't have to do in-person appointments anymore. So although I do hold live educational events, all my like clients are virtual now.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. So, can you just pick up on somebody's frequency just by talking to them? Are you that good?
Oh, well, I think that's what really, I think we're all psychic, but they strip it from us. Like, we forget who we are and they take that from us. They put things in our eyes. They give us, you know, vaccines when we're born, and they start like kind of shutting down our natural sensitivity to energy, to frequency. And so I think for some reason, they just weren't able to shut down all of mine. And then with development, because even the highest natural psychics or remote viewers or whatever your gift is, you have to use it. You become better by using it. So one of the advice, people are like, how do I become more psychic? I'll say, when you get an intuition, speak it. Don't think, oh, it's going to be so stupid. And then after it happens, you think I should have said something. Say it. You learn it by the bounce back. You learn to read frequency by the bounce back, by the reflection. You have to put it out there and, you know, kind of grow in your abilities.
Interesting. Yeah. I've also learned too, like, at least for me, when people start, I had a friend of mine tell me the other day, he was like, yeah, man, I'm sorry I hadn't talked to you in a while. I had a few deaths in the family, and it's just been crazy. Yeah. Right. And I said, man, 3 deaths, that's really tough to deal with at once. And he's like, what, turn your psychic stuff off, man. I didn't tell you there were 3 people that died. How'd you know that? Right.
Oh, you just said that. Wow. That's cool.
And I was like, I thought he said 3. In other words, I thought I heard him say 3 people that died. And he's like, but that's not what I said. 'Cause we were texting, you know. He goes, go back and look what I said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you said it was multiple people. But my mind just went 3, 3, 3, like that, you know?
You got that from him, though. So that's not like picking, or you might have got it from the universe. But because all information, this is not what I say to my students. I'm like, what if you could know anything about anyone or any place or anything, past, present, and future, anytime? And they're like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But you can. Like, there is no time and space. Like, all time is now. So you can look in the past. You can look in the future. There's different timelines. You can look at all the timelines. You can look at different realms and universes. And a lot of us are so fractured. We're, like, coexisting in different places at the same time. And on and on. Like, it gets really crazy. But it can all be known.
Really?
And read. And then there's different libraries for different worlds. And you can go. And Akashic Records is really horrible because a lot of people, souls who are here are such old beings, their records aren't even stored here. They're stored in other realms and other places. So you go to these Akashic Records readers and they're like complete fake, because most of the high powered beings that are left here, because I believe only like the oldest beings are left here. I believe most of the younger souls have left, and they've only left the most powerful people here to kind of like, I think this is the end of an age, kind of close down this realm before we go into something better. So it's kind of a twisted compliment to still be here. A lot of the Akashic Records readers are fake, complete fake.
Well,
there's many libraries in many realms, in many worlds. Yeah.
How do you read the Akashic Records though? Like, everybody always talks about reading them, but how do you do it? Like, if we can all do it, how?
Well, if you can, I mean, well, it's how I read people. Like, when I talk to people, I have to constantly do it. It used to just happen. A million movie screens pop up. And so people ask me these questions, what about love? And like, I get drowned in images, like possibilities, because every person has the average person has 5 timelines. So then I have to find the person. Are they on their optimal timeline? Are they on the middle timeline? Are they on a lower frequency timeline? You have to find the right timeline, and each timeline has like tons and tons of movies. Then you have to open up the movie, watch the movie. So it becomes really complicated. So people that's mine is like a movie library, but other people read it like books. People read differently, but the information is available to everybody if you know how to retrieve it or bring it up.
So if I said, what about love? That just is going to spit a whole bunch of stuff. But if I asked you and said, have I presently met my future wife or soulmate?
Oh yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's like, okay. So if you ask me that question, let me look at that. So hold on a minute. No, you have not.
Okay. That's disappointing, but that's all right. You know, I think, but you're not the first
person. No, I can see her though. I can see her. No, I can see her. And when I can see her, by you just bringing up that energy and I can see her, that means she's close. Now, close in my world is 2 years. So in the grand scheme of reality, and I asked the question, would you not wait like 2 years for like a kick-ass love? Of course, everybody would. So when I say close, you're within 2 years of meeting like a really good relationship. And she's adorable. Adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. Just super, super. She's funny. She's gentle. She's kind. She's sweet. Like, she's like a pure soul, and that's what you need. You're not a pure soul. You have a lot of, like, we call them samskaras or heart scars, but she's a pure soul. So, and you're capable of giving her what she needs, and she's capable of helping you heal. So that's cool. So it'll work. It's all good.
2 years. That's a lot. That's so far
within
away.
Within 2 years. It could be 3 months. No, it could be 3 months, but within 2 years, not 2 years you meet her, within 2 years. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2 weeks from now.
And
if I had time and I could look at all the movies, I could tell you about exactly when.
Yeah, that's cool though, right? So if people ask you about money, what do you say? Well, tell me about money. If somebody should ask you like, well, am I going to be financially well off? Or is that still too vague?
It's a little vague, yeah. Because, okay. So in this reality, you follow, okay, this is why astrology works. Like, people are like, astrology works, it freaks me out. Like, I, you know, it works because the matrix computer program when you're born has this kind of container for your life. So if you want to break out of that container, and it can be, a lot of people are paying off karma from past lives. So there's a lot to this. It's not an easy answer. But anyone, regardless of karma, regardless of the program for your life, which could be good or bad or medium or good and bad, you can learn to, it's not all this secret bullshit. Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
This, you know, the secret, and it's like, manifest, like do a vision board. That's all trash. They aren't telling you how to really do it. How you really do it is you have to kind of get yourself, you know how I talked about how your aura was all different colors?
Right.
If you wanted to see things that you dream of or speak come into your life, we would keep checking your aura until it was like all one color, because that's a potency where you as the alchemist can begin to transcend, raise higher than the program. And that's when you can basically write your own ticket. That's when you go into creation. So most of the time, money doesn't fall out of the sky into your lap. Most of the time, it's created by inspired action. Again, creation, fire, intuitive, precise. If you are working in intuition and you have your energy and action behind it, you're going to know, should I get into the crypto market? Should I buy a lottery ticket? Should I start a new business? Should I quit my job and take another job? You will see the path to wealth clearly laid out before you if you have risen in being to where you are higher than the frequency of the program that runs this reality. So it's not what they tell you. You can't really game the program from within the program, but you can totally take control of the game. A lot of people say life is like a movie. I say it's a video game. You can take control of the game and win the game as the controller of the game, not from within. It's harder. You got to fight a lot. There's a lot of pitfalls, just like a video game. But if you can step outside the game, then you can run it. you know, outwit, outplay, outlast, done.
Step outside the game.
And I'm at the point in my life where I understand that, and I can game. I pretty much can game the system now, and that's why they hate me and they come after me, because I teach people how to beat the system.
Yeah.
The whole system. I'm talking all of it. Love, money. Well,
I need to figure out how to get a new car, because I think I blew mine up. So that's where I'm at in the video game right now. Right.
Well, that's important.
I'm the starving artist kind of guy that needs a new car, right? So you have to step outside the video.
This is what I saw about you. I'm going to say something. Like, one of the things I saw about you is you are playing way below your potential. So, like, even your best thing you've accomplished thus far in life is nowhere near what you are capable of. So you're playing small. If you would take some more risks and start stepping up into your own power, you would see financial gain, obviously, as well.
Hmm. My power, huh? Okay. Well,
you have a lot of power.
Wouldn't you say that about most people, though, honestly, or no?
No. No. I'm really, it's so funny. When I just taught a 2.5-hour class before the show, and we were actually at the advanced aura class, and we were looking at auras, and there was this really crappy aura. And one of my students said, how would you tell the person that their aura is really crappy? I'd be like, your aura is really crappy? Like, I'm so honest and so blunt. Like, I am not going to tell someone they're powerful. I can help them learn to be powerful, yes, but not everyone's powerful. You have natural innate power right now that is untapped and you're not using.
Where is it? I'm not going to find it. It's in there somewhere. I gotta get it. Yeah.
We might need to locate it.
Yeah. Where is the power? Right. Like, I'll find it eventually, I guess. But no, I mean, I get what you're saying. A lot of people said that about me too. Like, you gotta stop selling yourself short.
But you know, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
I just don't like. I like being the underdog, I guess.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Okay. So, yeah, I just want to say, I'm saying this to the audience. If this can rewind, or you can replay, or this is a replay, rewind that and listen to the frequency of that. That's a lie. No, you don't like being the underdog. You're afraid to lose your freedom. You like to be free and you like to be in flow and you are very creative. You're afraid to lose your freedom. You think if you are successful, you have to give up freedom, and that's a lie. That's a lie, too.
Is it? Oh.
Absolutely. I'm the most free person on earth. I could move. I do. Once you, okay. I call it the low hanging fruit. The lowest hanging fruit is being 100% yourself and getting paid to do that. You're not operating on 100% yourself. So you're not getting paid to do that. You're operating at like 50% of yourself.
Yeah. People are putting like, He-Man, Night Stalker's putting the He-Man gif in there, like, I have the power. You remember He-Man? He used to put his sword up.
I love it. I love He-Man. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. I thought about doing, you know what I always kind of want to do? I thought about, because I've kind of played with it with Night Stalker, too. I've thought about doing, like, a call-in show to where I actually help people and counsel them, but not in a way that's, not in the I'm Dr. Joe kind of thing, but more like just intuitively, you know? I don't know. But that would be boring,
so
wouldn't it?
You are intuitive. No, it would not be boring. First of all, like, how do I say this? Your voice is very, like, you have a healing frequency in your voice. So part of healing for you would be, I know this sounds kind of weird, but it's true, like, you carry healing presence with you. So you would help shift people just by talking to them or just by listening to them.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do anything or even necessarily constantly. You need to get to know yourself a little bit. You don't know all your like strong suits. Like I can see like where your energy is potent in your being. And so you are a healer, but in your healer through communication. So I think that would be really great.
Yeah, what was it? I had somebody tell me that that they have panic attacks once. I've had a lot of people tell me this. Like, they had panic attacks, but when they listen to the show, it goes away. Like their anxiety goes away.
Yeah, because you have like this weird, I was going to say hypnotic, but I didn't know if that would offend you. Like you have like this hypnotic breathing quality in your voice. Like it's a frequency that you carry that is calming. You do.
I could turn it into like the Cagliostro thing, right? You love me, you adore me. You know, like when he was doing that, you remember that old black and white movie where he's like, I'm the man of your dreams. You love me. You adore me. You're going to marry me. I'm your prince. I'm your king. Right. And that lady just falls in love with him.
Oh my God. There you go.
No, I don't think I want to. I'm just playing though. I am studying NLP right now though, but people are afraid of that. But I think you can use it to reprogram yourself because my problem is the voices in my head. I have a lot of negative voices in my head that tell me that something's going to get you all the time, you know?
You need to look up, and there's a million ways to do this, but it's harder than you think. One of my biggest breakthroughs in my life was I have a completely silent mind. When you have a completely silent mind, you know when you are speaking, obviously, because no one else ever speaks but you, and then you can go into creation. Because there's so many competing voices in your head that you don't know where they're coming. It's very distracting, as you know. And most people do not have a silent mind. So it is so nice to have a silent mind.
Yeah, and you got all the voices in your head saying, well, this is going to happen. This always happens. You know, it's Frater Xavier did it. Said, and it's kind of obvious, but he talked about it like, if you could take a piece of paper and write down all the positive thoughts on one piece of paper and then another one negative. And this is kind of obvious. This isn't a lot of therapies, mm-hmm. and most people don't do it. But you would see that these voices are extremely negative, and most people have a lot of negative dots. They'll fill up a whole page full of it, right? And you have to learn to teach yourself not just have a quiet mind, but like to reject those thoughts. Like, I reject that. I don't accept that thought, you know? Hard.
Occasionally, it's so funny though, when you have a silent mind though, and like a random negative thought comes in, like it's so clear that it's not yours. Like it's easier to reject that. I think it's easier to have a silent mind first because it's easier to discern like where these thoughts are coming from.
So some of the main questions,
if you're not initiating them, it's not yours, you know? Go ahead.
Well, some of the main questions I wanted to ask you tonight was the first one I talked about was, you know, how can we use the experience of the paranormal as a part of our understandings for a more balanced life and well-being, right? So
I love that.
Is that
good question?
Is that showing us that we are connected, but and we can heal ourselves, or what do you think?
I would say it's showing us that this world is temporary. This world is an illusion. There are many other worlds, there are many other beings, and they are all the dimensions, and we don't know. Nobody knows how many dimensions there are. There could be billions, there could be 54, who knows? But they're all overlap ours, and all dimensions overlap all other dimensions, and they can all sit on the head of a pin. So we talk about going and looking for the paranormal. Anybody can come and spend 1 hour for me in my house, and I would unlock millions of worlds that you didn't know existed just outside your own door in your own backyard. You don't have to go to a haunted house to seek the, you know, paranormal. There are interdimensional beings. There are portals. There are many, many things. There are ships, you know, from outside this universe over your house. I'm really good at showing people how to access the dimensions in their own world. You know, you don't have to come to my house, but it's easiest for me here, obviously, because I'm here. But we think we have to go outside of ourselves, outside of our homes, outside of our yards, you know, and go across country and go, you know, to these dark places. It's not true. Everybody has dimensional in their yard. Everybody has, you know, what you might call Sasquatch or Dogman or the little people. I just put up a picture of a little person, and it's this tiny little man, and he's carrying his babies across the water, and it's crystal clear. You know, people put, I can get paranormal pictures that are crystal clear as day because I can see them with my eyes, and I can teach anyone how to turn on their sight. It's not special. It's untaught. we don't teach our children how to see and hear and see through.
Hmm. I need to get back to being able to do that. Actually, I think we all do. So, all right. So let me get.
But I think it's a good reminder. We talk about, you know, going to church to seek God. To me, you know, God or whatever you want to call the all, you know, whatever you want to call it, is all around us. Like when you interact with these beings from other dimensions, there's so much for them to teach you. When you, I mean, I have pictures of trees with faces in them. I have like the most mind-blowing evidence, you know, and people are just like, oh, that's Photoshopped, because they don't want to believe in magic. And we were just talking, when your internet cuts, you're talking about how your co-host, that alchemy and magic is actually the reality that they're trying to keep us from, and all the other BS is the untruth stuff. So they're trying to keep us from all the magic around us and the magic within us by all this distraction stuff that always goes on.
Yeah, for sure. I totally am with you on that. So when it comes to healing, are you saying that we are, you know, how we look outside to heal ourselves, but a lot of times are we our own healers? Because it seems like what you're teaching is in a way, like you don't have to get healing outside yourself. You just kind of need to learn to tap into certain frequencies, right? I could be wrong.
It depends kind of on your, I was just considering before I answered. It depends kind of on your frequencies. So some people's avatars, their physical body, are degenerated enough that they still need to take, but it's very, very individual. So we're used to even going to like an alternative medicine doctor and saying, hey, doc, I have arthritis. What do you want to give me? And they're like, oh, this is good for arthritis and this is good. But they're not testing you. We have the technology. We know what your body wants in the order it wants it. We know what it doesn't want so that you heal your arthritis, because your arthritis, you and I may have arthritis for different reasons, you know, not just different parts of the body, but mine might be emotional. Yours might be physical. You know, I mean, there's just many healings. So individual. Everybody has different programming, as we were talking about earlier. Everybody has different reasons for their physical imbalances and their emotional imbalances. Although we're finding through testing, you know, there's a lot of commonality. A lot of people have unreleased, unprocessed, stored trauma that's actually being stored in the body and energy field. And it causes a lot of problems in relationships, in career, in physical health. And so we're actually starting some new programs that are clinical programs with medical supervision to help people release trauma, because then we could go into a long bunny trail about what really happens at night. Do you need 8 hours of sleep? Why do they push sleep? Why are we on the sleep program? Why are beds and bedroom sets such a big thing? Well, there's reasons. What is happening at night? Well, we know now a lot of the things that happen at night. Why do you wake up? And people's eyes look horrible and they're showing accumulated trauma through the night when they were just peacefully sleeping. It's not that they're just having bad dreams. It's that dreams are not what they tell you it is. Dreams are you either leaving your body to go to another reality that's real, just as real as this real unreal place is. You know, if you ever watch Stranger Things, they call it the upside down. I call it a reverse, inverse reality mirrored containment system. I mean, it's just completely twisted from a real planet type of things. It's a reflection. It's a fallen world, as religion people might say. But yeah, there's a lot to it. A lot to it.
Yeah. So also, like, so this frequency and vibration exist beyond the physical realm. I mean, we've proven that the physical realm has vibration through science, that it's
right.
But is there something beyond the physical realm that vibrates that we haven't proven? Is it a different kind of vibration or is it the same thing? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
We kind of prove it. It's the same thing because everything, we have found everything. That's why I said we can access past, present, and future, different realms, different timelines. So we know what people are doing at night because we access it through the frequency of their memory. We know what's going on in other places or planets, or you might say groups. You've heard of groups like the Palladians or the Actuarians or all these interstellar places and groups. basically everything can be bounced with frequency, if that makes sense. Kind of like sending out a signal and receiving the information. It's like the supercomputer. I mean, that's how they work. So now as common people, even though this technology has actually existed for millions of years, they're just letting us have it again because everything is in cycles and then cataclysms. So we're just at the cycle where they're letting us have access. As a matter of fact, I know, well, I can't say how I know, but I know that nuclear war isn't even a threat because the weapons they have are more sophisticated now than nuclear war. They're actually worse than nuclear war weapons. So there will never be nuclear war on this planet because that's like old energy weapons. Now we have these, well, number one, we have high frequency weapons that can take out nuclear warheads before they would even become a danger. We have that technology in the U.S. and other countries have it as well. But there's higher level, like sonic frequency weapons that could destroy the planet, not nuclear war. So we're not even playing. We're really playing in this high tech, you know, field these days.
You know, you have you noticed how many people, and we only got a couple of minutes left here, but how many people are going to divination? Like the YouTube channels now, there's so many tarot channels and so many different kinds of divinatory channels and people reading their sun signs. And it's and the reason why I know people want to know it's about love so much is because all of these channels are about love for some reason. I don't know if it's a weird time we're in right now, but there's a whole bunch of people looking to, you know, have answers to their love life. And I've even caught, you know what is funny to me? I've even caught people that talk about, oh, how I'm happy by myself and all this other stuff. And then you go on YouTube and you see them asking questions to somebody about their love life. And they don't think you see it.
That's kind of funny.
You know? So it's like, oh, come on. Right? But
I think people want, you kind of said it, people want answers to big questions, and love is a tangible answer, kind of. So they're kind of searching, I think, for the more at hand, what they think is an easier answer. I don't think they're asking the hard questions. I don't think love is the hard question. A lot of times love is a choice. I mean, there's like, whether they're clones or not, it doesn't matter. There's like billions of people you can have relationships with a swipe of a finger, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you know, pretty much to your taste. It's not really hard to find love these days, but I think it's harder to answer the spiritual questions. What happens when I die? Is there life outside of the earth? You know, what's going to happen in the future? Like, these are the bigger questions. So I think we after what seems more tangible, you know, money and love.
Yeah, right. Money, love, career, and health stuff. That's all it is. Health, wealth, and relationships.
Yeah, all of those are big. Yeah, all of those are big categories.
Well, listen, since we only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm sorry we had this internet outage, we'll probably have to reschedule, do this again, but I'm sure there was some stuff we didn't even get to talk about, right? Like, you wanted to probably get into some deeper stuff, didn't you?
Well, I cover a lot of subjects. I mean, we could talk about, like I said, cryptozoology, we could talk about the paranormal, we could talk about a million things. I could do a scan on you, we could talk about what came up, do mini scans on your audience. We could do a million things.
Man, you guys should have did the scan thing. That sounds cool. All right. Well, can you give everybody, since you did come hang out with us and spend such an awesome time with us, can you give everybody your links where they can find you, how they can seek you out for your services?
Yeah, that's really sweet. I'm pretty findable. So I have a YouTube channel, Kindling with George, secrets-everything.com. You can type in Secrets to Everything or Kindling with George. You'll find a bunch of junk. I'm old and I've been around a while, so just explore. We have free classes, free gifts on our website if you want to sign up for those and get a little taste of some of the different things that we do. Yeah, I'd love to see you. Love to see you guys and interact with you more.
Cool. Well, thanks. And we'd love to have you back, actually. So thanks for coming on. It was good. It was a cool show. It was really cool meeting you for the first time, too.
Yeah, it felt like we were just hanging out, having a cool conversation around, like, a fire, you know, having some more or something. It was nice.
Yeah, that's how we do
but
it here.
I definitely would love to come back and talk about it. So, yeah, I love it. I think it's really awesome. I really enjoyed it. It was very comfortable and made me feel really comfortable. So I'd love to come back and do whatever you want.
Absolutely. We'll have you back. And of course, we always do the fireside chat here at Lighting the Void, just like that, every single time. You guys will be back tomorrow night. We got to get out of here because the Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable's coming up. Have a good night. Sweet dreams. All right, hold on a second. Oh, no. That broke, you broke my heart. Yeah.